Every time we're blessed. It's a full house in here this morning, and it's good to see each and every one of you out to Sunday school and to church this morning. Now, if you're a visitor, you make yourself at home. God put something on your heart to do, you need to do that. So I got two or three announcements I got to get out of the way here, then we'll turn these kids loose. So the first one is there is a meeting on this coming Monday at 6:30 p.m. about child abduction given by several authorities. It will be free to anyone attending. The meeting will be have several speakers and material to learn about this dangerous evil that's now in our area and hurting so many young people and their families. They will teach how to avoid an abduction, the latest tricks they use to capture youth, and how to instruct our kids. Meeting will be held at the old LaBelle Theater in South Charleston on D Street behind the mound. If you have children or grandchildren, this meeting may help save their lives. So remember that. Another thing in our bulletin is a sign-up sheet for our Christmas dinner, but it don't say who to give it to. So you need to give that to Julie McCollum. So make sure you get that to her. And, you know, Missy Peck has had surgery, and she's unable to do some things and cook and things. So Brenda Wolf has got a sign-up sheet out there for each day. If somebody wants to cook her meal and take to them, she'll be out there in the foyer, I guess, after church to talk to people and have the sign-up sheet out there then, right? Okay. Okay. She's got several names on here already, so feel free to talk to her about that. Now, I don't think I'm forgetting anything. Now, we need to take up an offering. We got some people going to sing for our offering this morning, so Randy, say the prayer, please. Thank you. Okay, we're going to have some little ones now sing for you, and then some bigger little ones. Let's put it that way. 316 will sing after they do. So, all right, Susie.
This morning is Youth Morning, and it's always an exciting time when we have brand new Joy Bells ringers. It's always sad when our fifth graders grow up, but I'm happy to see when they go on to 316. But I hate to lose them, but I get so excited to see our new ones, especially when they're so excited. So this morning we welcome Carson and Connor Fisher, Branson Nunley, Ava Hall, John Luke Koontz, and Jay Stewart. If you're ringing for your very first time up front, will you raise your hand? Here they are.
Last Sunday, the hand bells rang for our veterans. The Joy Bells want to honor you too. Will all our veterans please stand? Thank you for your service to our country. We will ring Battle Hymn of the Republic and God Bless America in honor of you.
Thank you. done.
I'm just a nobody.
Brought a rock to a sword fight. Me, you kicked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. The moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, "Who do you think you are?"
Aren't you glad he rescued you one day? He rescued you. Last Sunday, we recognized our veterans, and towards the end of the service, Pastor Al had a video he wanted to show everyone. And Greg has been able to get that working. So this morning we're gonna show that to you before the message. But you just keep in prayer for the service, that God will touch some heart today.
We were headed to Omaha Beach, and I was glad. After all the fighting in Africa and Sicily, I just wanted to get this war over with. It was daylight on the 6th. I went up on deck and found my brother Bill there. We talked about our chances and what our parents would think. About 6 a.m., the signal came to go to stations. My brother and I promised whoever survived would take care of the other's family. And we shook hands and went our separate ways. I climbed down the nets and got into the Higgins boat with my unit. On the way in, we could hear the battleships firing and see the big shells landing ahead of us. Guys were getting sick and vomiting from the choppy water and the diesel fumes. As we got in closer, the Germans had a bird's eye view of us coming in. We picked up machine gun fire. The bullets clanged against the metal ramp of the boat like hail. Then the big 88s on the hill opened up. Every time a shell whistled overhead, all you could hear was the sound of a banshee screaming. Boats around us were burning. I saw men on fire. Even their shoes were on fire. Dead and wounded were floating in the water. We had orders not to stop and pick anyone up. I told my men, when the ramp drops, hit the water hard and keep as low as you can to dodge the bullets. We sank up over our heads. That was the last time I saw most of them. 31 men jumped off that boat. Just 7 of them made it to the beach. The only cover was a block of concrete the Germans had failed to clear. That's where I set up a collection point for the casualties. Medics were trained not to dig in. We were there to see the troops and for them to see us. I detailed Corporal Raymond Lepore to hunker down and treat the men while I brought in the injured. Ray and I had been together since 39. I knew I could count on him. It was total confusion. Shells exploding, boats blowing up, people yelling because they couldn't hear anything, machine gun bullets hitting the water all around you, the roar of the boats coming in. It's like you're all alone in a world of a million people because you're concentrating on what you have to do. Hadn't gone far when I felt a bullet go through my right arm. I just kept going. I was thinking of only one thing, getting to the men who needed me. There was a soldier laying right on the edge of the water. One arm was almost shot off. Every time a wave would come in, that arm would be pulled back out to sea, and he'd try to reach out for it. The first thing you're supposed to do is keep a wounded man from going into shock. But he was too far gone. Nothing I could do for him. He died in my arms. I was on my way to treat another soldier when a piece of shrapnel the size of my hand tore a hole in my left thigh. I put a tourniquet on it, gave myself a shot of morphine, and went back to work. You did the job you were trained to do. If you didn't, you died. I could feel my right arm going numb from the first bullet. Saw a guy struggling in chest-deep water. Grabbed him with my good arm just as a Higgins boat rolled in and dropped its ramp. The ramp hit me right in the back, crushed 2 vertebrae, and pushed us both to the bottom. That's when I started talking to the one guy I knew could help me. I said, God, I've asked you many times, but just give me another chance. let me save one more person. And for some reason, that boat raised its ramp and backed out. Somehow I managed to drag his boat to safety. I told Corporal Lepore he'd have to take my place. He stood up, and then he just collapsed against my shoulder. His helmet fell off, and I saw the hole right in the center. Everything went black after that. The next thing I knew, I was on a boat going back to England. A Navy doctor looked at my dog tags, and he told me, "We have another Lambert here." My brother's Bill's stretcher was put right next to mine on the dock at Weymouth. He'd been on the beach with G Company. We went to the hospital in the same ambulance. When I woke up, he was on the cot next to me. He looked over and said, "What are you doing here?" "Same thing you are," I told him. And he said, "Oh, God, now what's Mother gonna think?" We both made it out okay. Bill lived to be 92. People who have never been in a war should understand what soldiers give up. The guys we left on Omaha Beach never had a chance to live the lives they've dreamed of. Day hasn't gone by when I haven't prayed for the men we lost and their families. I still wake up at night sometimes thinking about the guys. Every man that walked into those machine guns and that artillery fire on Omaha Beach that day, every man was a hero. What kind of person would I be if I didn't tell their stories? Such an honor. Such an honor, sir. Tell your story. God bless you.
That ought to make you thankful to be here. Knowing that God was watching over them. And many didn't get to come home, but... This morning, I thought of the last song that 316 sang. It was talking about SOS, send out an SOS. We often think that SOS means something in particular, but it really doesn't. It's a sign that you need help in a desperate way. And I want you to know this morning, if you're here and you're having a problem and you need help in a desperate way, just send out your SOS. They normally do that in three, they do it three times, SOS, 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 if they're sending it out by the code, the Morse code. And it's a very simple thing to remember on the Morse code. It's dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, dot, dot. And those are the codes that stand for those three letters, SOS. Some say that it means save our ship. Some say it means save our souls. And I want you to know this morning that God is here and He can save your soul. Amen. All you have to do is call out. Call out. You shall be saved if you call upon the name of the Lord. You shall be saved. Many times the call goes out in the time of war that there's no one there that can get to you in time. And often many souls are lost. But I thought, you know, later on, I believe it was around 1921, they changed the call from SOS to another one, Anybody know what that is? Mayday. Mayday, mayday, mayday. Three times you put out that call so that they clearly understand what you're asking for. And in most calls, like I said, in that is it's a desperate situation. Death can be apparent, and they need our help. I once worked with a gentleman whose wife was a air flight paramedic, and they would take them out and drop them into the woods so that if it's some situation the helicopter would go down, they would have that training to know what they need to do to survive. And one of the things that they do is they gather up sticks or whatever, trees, and they make the sign, SOS. SOS. Oftentimes you've seen where people were on an island or someplace, they would go to the beach and they would put out SOS in the sand to save them. They were wanting to be rescued. They were wanting to live. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, I could ask each and every one of you, none of you want to die. But none of you want to die for eternity. And so I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. I'll not keep you long this morning, but I thought of this. Christ had been teaching and preaching on the seashore, and then he told his disciples, he said, let's go to the other side. If Christ said that to you today, would you be ready? Let's go to the other side. And I thought, you know, when Christ tells us that, and he will one day, he will tell us it's time to go home. Let's go to the other side. The greatest thing that you can have in your life is not what you've done in this life to gain a house, a home, or land, or fortune, or fame, or whatever. None of that's going to count. But only thing that's going to count when we leave this world, when he calls us to go the other side, is what we've done with Jesus Christ. And is he with you? Is he on board with you? I thought of the fellows that hit the water. You know, there was sudden destruction that came upon them. But men, like was mentioned here, would do their best to save their buddy. But here it was. It says in verse 23. It says, and when he had entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. The greatest thing you can do today is follow Christ. Follow him in every day and everything that you do. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Christ was on board, he was down in the back of the boat, and he was asleep. You say, why did he go to sleep? Why did he not stay on up with the others? But here it says, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. They took their SOS directly to the master. You often think, you know, what can Christ do for me in my life? In this situation, these men were in a terrible storm, and they realized that without the help of the Lord, they were going to perish. It says, and he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye little faith? O ye of little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the seas, and there was a calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey Him. No matter what storm you're going through this morning, no matter what trial you're going through, I want you to realize Christ is not asleep today. Scripture says He never slumbers nor sleeps. He's always watching out for you. But the greatest thing that we have to do as individuals, as Christians, is to call out on Him. Call out on the Lord. Put up your SOS. If something in your life is not going right, or there's sickness in your family or whatever, we need to send out our Maydays. Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. And it's important for us to realize that He wants to help you in everything that you do. Sometimes we feel like things just aren't important unless someone's really in danger of losing their lives, or they're not going to make it. But you know, those that are around about us, our children are so important. We need to call out on the Lord to help us in all situations. I thought, you know, this same instance was told in the book of Mark, the 4th chapter, and in the book of Luke, the 8th chapter. And each of them has just a little bit difference in there. But in one of them it says, "And He stood up and said, Peace, be still. Peace, be still." You know, in a time of trouble, in a time of a storm in our life, the greatest thing that we can have is peace in Jesus Christ. And He wants to give us that peace. We can have that assurance that no matter what happens. I thought Audrey always sings a song, "I'm a winner either way. If I go or if I stay, I'm a winner either way." And we were talking about that in class today, that, you know, if we have our faith in Christ, we have a confidence in knowing that whatever happens, He's going to take care of us, and we can go to be with Him. It says, but excuse me, but the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him?" How could the winds and the seas obey Him? He created them. He created all that's in this life and in this earth. He created each individual that's sitting here today. You say He stopped creation back in the garden. No, He didn't. Every man and woman that's born is a creation of God. And I've often thought that, you know, we sometimes just don't think about that. We mistreat ourselves. We mistreat our bodies. We mistreat different things that God has created. But He loves you today, and He created you. Many times in our lives, we often wonder, "Where are you, God? Where are you, God?" But He's right there with you. He made a promise to you. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you always, even until the end." But all we have to do is call out on Him. He told us that if we would ask, and ask is made up of 3 letters, A for ask, S for seek, and K for knock. Ask, seek, and knock. Cry out to Him. Cry out to Him. He wants to, you know, you can imagine in war times those that were stranded by themselves or were out, they were wounded. You know, their hope would be to cry out for help. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, all you have to do is cry out to Him. All you have to do is ask Him, say, "Lord, will you come into my life? It's not a big process. It's not a big cleansing process that you have to go through. I heard a man one time say, I really would like to be saved, but I got one more deal I got to do. And I thought, if you're going to do deals, who else would you rather have helping you do the deal than Jesus Christ? So it's important for us to realize he wants to be a part of your life. He stands and knocks. He won't knock your door down. He wants you to ask him in. And that's all you have to do, is to ask him to come into your life. And then when these storms come in your life, he can help you control them. He can help you to do what you need to do. If you're here this morning without Christ, as we get a song of invitation, I want you to realize all you have to do is call out. Send your SOS up. Send your SOS up to Jesus Christ, and he will save your soul. If you're here this morning and there's something in your life that you want, that you're holding on to, that you need help with, ask him, and he'll come and help you. So as we stand and as we sing, I invite you to come right now.
Page 201.
Right now, come and call out on the Lord. He wants to help you today. For each of you that have come today, we pray that you'll always remember he's just a call away. He's just a call away. You say, I couldn't come this morning, but I want you to pray for me. And we will. You don't have to be here to be saved. You can be saved in your car going home. But just roll down your window and call out to him. Call out to him and ask him to come into your life. Again, we're thankful for each of you. We're thankful for our veterans. We're thankful for our congregation. We pray that you would just mind the Lord. Come back tonight. Our service is our youth service tonight. Hands to Praise will be a part of that service, and they always do a wonderful job. Anything else before we dismiss? The board will be meeting right after service.